Welcome everybody to Biblical Resources for the third Sunday of Advent. Our Gospel is taken from Matthew 11, verses 2 to 11. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come? Or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offence at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Initial observations. John the Baptist asks the question we all ask, "Is this the one?" The question may seem strange, given that A, in Luke 1-2, they're supposed to be cousins, and B, Jesus was a disciple of John. As for A, it would seem that the family link is a metaphor for their theological relatedness. As for B, we really know very little of their actual relationship. Jesus was indeed a disciple of John. John did baptize Jesus. Jesus started his ministry once John was arrested. It would seem that Jesus saw John as an authentic and important prophet, as we read in Matthew 11, 7-15 and 21, 23-27. Furthermore, only when John could no longer function did Jesus enter the public arena. How much they knew each other personally remains unanswerable for lack of evidence. The Old Testament background. The response of Jesus is in the language of Isaiah. In Isaiah 35, 5-6, we read, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert." Perhaps more familiarly, in Isaiah 61, 1-3, we read, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display his glory." You can also read Isaiah 26:19, 29:18, 42:7-18. What kind of writing have we here? There are two anecdotes here, each with a slightly extraneous punchline. The second story about the identity of John depends on the first, about the identity of Jesus. New Testament foreground. Number 1. John the Baptist is frequent in Matthew, preaching in chapter 3, the baptism in chapter 3, the arrest in chapter 4, the inquiry as in this reading in chapter 11, identified as Elijah also in chapter 11, comparison with Jesus in chapter 11, his death in chapter 14, and his authority in chapter 21. So quite a large presence. Number 2, the expression, the one who is to come, regularly found in Matthew about the Messiah, where we read in Matthew 3:11, 11:3, 16:28, 21:9, 23:39, 24:30, and 26:64. Number 3, disciples of John are found in Matthew 11:2 and 14:12. Mark, Q, and John agree in speaking of a special group of disciples of John. Remarkably, these writings witness to the continued existence of this distinct group throughout Jesus' ministry. A group of John's adherents continued to rival the followers of Jesus even after John's death, as we read in Acts 18:25 and 19:3-4. Number 4. The reference to the ministry takes us to Matthew 8-9, where the blind receive their sight, 9:27-31, the lame walk, 9:2-8, the lepers are cleansed, 8:1-4, the deaf hear, 9:32-34, kophos meant deaf and or mute, the dead are raised, 9:18-26, and the poor have good news brought to them, 9:35-38. So a comprehensive reference. Number 5. Elijah, or an Elijah-type figure, was widely expected to usher in the end. This was based not only on the spectacular banner of Elijah's departure, 2 Kings 2, 1-11, but also on prophetic oracles such as, "Lo, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of parents to their children and the hearts of children to their parents, so that I will not come and strike the land with a curse." Malachi 4:5-6. And at the appointed time it is written, "You," that is Elijah, "are destined to calm the wrath of God before it breaks out in fury, to turn the hearts of parents to their children and to restore the tribes of Jacob." Sirach 48:10. The Elijah identity of John is hinted at in Mark, expressly affirmed by Jesus in Matthew, and flatly denied by John himself in the fourth gospel. He did cause some anxiety. Our reading from St. Paul is Romans 1:1-7. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the gospel concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, including yourselves who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all God's beloved in Rome who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Brief commentary. Verse 2. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples. The Messiah is Matthew's word here. It reminds the readers of Jesus' real identity, still unknown to John the Baptist. The prison account is further expanded in 14:1-3. Verse 3. And said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Given the role, and especially the fiery preaching of John, the question is a natural one, as Jesus does not seem to fit the bill. Verse 4, Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you see and hear." This is an oblique answer, suggesting that this exchange is perhaps a later theological clarification of how these two foundational figures related. Verse 5, "The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them." These deeds are found as above in Matthew 8-9. Elijah and Elisha did similar deeds of power. Matthew 5-7 and Matthew 10 are in the general picture as well. Verse 6, "And blessed is anyone who takes no offence at me." The same words as in the Beatitudes in 5:1-12. Offence, literally to be scandalized, is found frequently in Matthew 14:8-2. That's 14 in Matthew, twice in Mark, twice in Luke, and twice in John. Compare Matthew 13:21 and 15:12. Jesus warns John not to fall himself from faith. Verse 7. "As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. 'What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind?'" Rich in rhetorical questions and climax, Jesus identifies John as more than a prophet. The images of reed, robes and palaces may point to Herod Antipas, who put John in prison and whose coins bore a reed. Verse 9. "What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet." More than a prophet because he ushered in the final age. Verse 10. "This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.'" This important citation from Malachi 3:1 is mistakenly cited under Isaiah in Mark 1-12. Compare also Exodus 23:20. Verse 11. "Truly I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Born of women covers, of course, all humanity. Least in the kingdom is an important expression in Matthew 5:19, 25:40 and 45. Jesus' own followers are greater than John himself, amazingly. Pointers for prayer. Number 1. In response to the question of John, Jesus let his actions speak for him. Some people show by the way they live what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Who has given you such an example? Perhaps there have been times when you have done the same for others. 2. John made a journey of faith from an incomplete knowledge of Jesus to a deeper understanding of who he was. Recall similar steps in your own journey of faith. Number 3. Faith is not primarily about answering abstract theological questions, but about living the gospel. What in your life has helped you to get that sense of perspective? Number 4. John marked the end of an era, Jesus, the beginning of a new one. In our lives, how do we honour the past and yet be free to move on into a new era? Prayer. God of glory and compassion, at your touch the wilderness blossoms, broken lives are made whole, and fearful hearts grow strong in faith. Open our eyes to your presence and awaken our hearts to sing your praise. To all who long for your Son's return, grant perseverance and patience that we may announce in word and deed the good news of the kingdom. We ask this through him whose coming is certain, whose day draws near, your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, for ever and ever. Amen. Thought for the day. Joy in believing might seem an extra in today's challenging climate of faith. Many of us struggle simply to hold on, not to mention being exuberant about it all. And yet, of course there is deep happiness in faith. First of all, everything around is a gift, and behind all the gifts stands a giver. Secondly, love is at the heart of it all, and in the faith, nothing is ever lost or wasted. Faith, hope, and love endure, and the greatest of these is love. Finally, why not permit ourselves true joy in all that God has done for us and still does for us in Jesus and in the Holy Spirit? Prayer. We believe, loving God, that you take delight in all you have made. Open up in us again the springs of joy, that we may delight in you, our true joy. Amen. Thanks very much, everybody.